This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Or send us an email, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, you can listen to us on the internet right here at WKAR. Any place in the world where you are, you can listen to us on the World Wide Web. So just give us a call, talk sports with us, or just listen to it. Either way, or send us an email. Any way you want to keep in touch with us, we're glad to have you. We're going to talk a lot of sports with you today. We have a couple of very special guests. We have John Neal from the Detroit News. We'll have Jeff Kimberly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association on today to talk about sports. But first, we'll talk about some of the things that happened over the weekend. Many of you probably were watching the golf tournament. I didn't watch a lot of it, but I did read and catch the end of it. Tiger Woods was in a position to win. In years past, he might have won or even competed, at least competed down the stretch for that championship. But after 3 days, he just fell apart on this day, and he's been struggling still, at least one day. I guess we can say he's getting better. He played well for 3 days. He can't play well, I guess, now. I guess it's going to be a while. From what we've seen, he hasn't been able to play four days together. So that's going to be his next task, to try to put 4 days to good days together. And even if you don't win, you can have four good days. I know a lot of the people in the golf people and many of the people in golf thinks he can put four good days together and win. I'm not sure if he can put four good days together and win anymore, but he can put four good days together and have a very good outcome. But we'll see. Only time will tell. As everyone keeps asking and wants Tiger to win, which I understand, I like to see him win too. But he is older than when he was doing all that winning. He is up. He's a little bit up in age. Not totally up, but he is older these days. So he just doesn't. He can't put it together like he could when he was younger. He put those four good days together and sometimes just closed it out and went on the fourth day. Well, we're going to talk about Tiger and the Red Wings won their 20th home game in a row, and that ties the NHL record for most home wins consecutively in home. And so we'll see about can the Red Wings win 21. That's their quest that they've got to do. They've got to try to win 21 now. So it's going to be a good challenge for the Wings, and we'll all be looking forward to them and seeing what they can do. And, of course, teams are starting to report to camp. Baseball is right around the corner. I know a lot of you can't wait for baseball season to begin, but it will begin soon, and you'll be very happy, excited to see baseball is starting. And of course, you know, football never ends. It just goes on and on and on. And this is even before the draft. We've got free agency starting now and pretty soon, then the draft. Then you have to sign players and get players in. But football now is basically a 12-month-a-year sport. It used to be in the fall, and maybe you'd hear about it in the spring when the draft came along. But not anymore. It's so much going on, the free agency and everything else. So, you know, we're always going to be talking about football. So I know it makes a lot of people happy because a lot of people really love their football. So we'll see about that as it continues to grow and grow and grow. The largest sport in America right now, and I don't know if it can get much larger. You know, about 50% of the America watches football, especially on Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know if it'll ever get any larger than that, Aaron, but it could happen. Or Jacob, I know that it could happen, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We are in the midst of basketball season, and of course, the Detroit Pistons just got crushed by the Washington Wizards, but they had won four in a row, so they are improving. And Jacob, have you watched them very much? Have you had a chance to look at the Pistons at all?
Not really. No, I used to watch the Pistons, and I just kind of faded away a little bit. But no, I haven't been able to keep up with it much at all. But I had known they had won a couple games in a row, and then they get crushed by the Wizards. But hey.
Yeah, well, yeah. At least they're getting better. At least they're showing some signs of improvement. Maybe it's the teams they're playing that aren't very good. They got crushed by the Wizards, though. That was an embarrassing loss. But they had won four straight before that, but none of the teams were really that great. But we'll just have to wait and see. But we did have the Michigan State team won a very good game, beat Ohio State surprisingly on the road. And they handled them on the road because that defense they've got is playing even better than what it was at the first of the year. I know when I was watching them early in the year, I could see they just move so quick on their feet. They're a young team, but they move quick and they cover a lot of areas. And their defense makes up for a lot of mistakes on offense. But this is a very, very good defensive team. And now they're going to have a very tough game against Wisconsin, which is always is good, but I asked Tom Izzo about that today. Has Wisconsin improved defensively over these last month? Wisconsin has won 7 of 8 of their last 8 games. So I asked him, have they improved defensively? He says they've always been good under Bo Ryan on the defensive end. So we should have a tough game coming up Thursday night, Michigan State and Wisconsin. Oh, yes, and we got to take names for the games Thursday night, and someone's going to win a couple of tickets to a very lucky to go to that Wisconsin-Michigan State game, 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517. If you want to go to the Michigan State-Wisconsin game, call and register now, and you can get in on the drawing for Michigan State-Wisconsin, 353-5000, area code 517. And that will have tickets to give away for the Wisconsin game on Thursday. So we'll probably give those tickets away on Wednesday. If you get a chance to, we'll give those tickets away, and you'll have a chance to win tickets for that Thursday night game, Michigan State and Wisconsin. They're a very good team. But year in and year out, that rivalry between Michigan State and Wisconsin is a pretty good rivalry. And, Michigan's a good game team, and they've got Ohio State coming up. And we'll see. Can Ohio State bounce back? Which I think they will, but I don't know if Michigan can win, hold a home court and hold serve on home court, as they say. That's going to be a tough game. Ohio State coming in. They're probably still the best team in the Big Ten, definitely with them and in Michigan State. And I know Izzo still thinks that Ohio State's the best team, but some of you might disagree with Coach Izzo that they are indeed the best team. They're definitely up there. So we'll see what that's going to happen with them, with Ohio State and Michigan State. Ohio State and Michigan should be a very good game, I believe, tomorrow night. Ohio State and Michigan, and Michigan will be challenging the Buckeyes and trying to get them Buckeyes another loss, and that would help Michigan State, that's for sure, if they were able to get another if the Buckeyes were able to get another loss. But anyway, give us a call, talk sports with us, right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And you can talk sports with us, and we're always looking to hear from you and talking with you right here on AM 870 WKAR. And just call us up and talk some of the things that are going on in the sports world, and we'd love to hear from you. Right now we're going to hear from Don from DeWitt. Don, how you doing?
Hey, real good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay, buddy.
Hey, I'm just loving my Spartan basketball boys. I thought this team would be pretty good, by March, but they'd have some stumbles along the way, and it surprises me maybe a little bit how quickly they've come along. But that game against Ohio State was just a masterful game plan defensively, the way they had the they'd noticed on film that Sullinger brings the ball down and takes a dribble, making most of his moves. So rather than double-team, send the guards down to dig and cause problems that way. And then, two, Tom was mentioning in postgame that they purposely, knowing that Thad Mata only had plays seven deep, that even when fast break wasn't there, Payton and Knicks were supposed to sprint down the floor just to make them do the same.
Yes, well, that's one thing. You know, you're not going to make Ohio State tired because they've done that. That's all Mata plays. He plays six or seven guys sometime, and that's it. And, you know, you have to think they're pretty good at it because they do it year in and year out. They do it in the tournament. Maybe they get a little tired during this time of year. I really can't tell if they're getting any tireder than what they've seen at the first of the year. Are they any tighter now than they were at the first of the season. So,
well, and you just made my point. I think by the time that might be part of the reason
that might
they fall shy in the tournament, they're leg weary by then, playing the shorter bench. But no, MSU people early on were saying about Brandon Dawson that, oh, gee, forget his defensive mistakes, Tom. You just got to let him play. And no, that's not the way it works here.
Nope.
And now, as a result of that coaching, he's getting to be not only an adequate defensive player, he's getting to be a good defensive player. And same thing with Brandon Wood. They're learning and buying into what they have to do defensively. And therefore, the whole team effort is better. I'm just given the length at the wings now, too, with guys
yes.
like Dawson at 6'7" and Kearney at 6'6", given some valuable minutes here and there, and just being longer. Every coach seems to mention our length and everything, as opposed to the 6'2" and 6'3" wings we've had in the past. It's a nice thing to have, and it gives them a lot of interchangeable parts.
It does. It really does give them a lot of interchangeable parts. And I know Tom likes this team a lot, and they're very coachable, and they're listening and they're learning. So it's a very good team for him.
Oh, exactly. The fact that they are listening and wanting to learn, it's exactly his favorite type of team. And you hope that'll continue. And I think you said, I don't know, I think I've heard you mention it, but this team isn't near its upside yet. They haven't played their best basketball yet. There's, you know, Payne and Knicks are still a, you know.
Yeah, they're getting better.
Payne in particular is inconsistent.
Yes.
But, you know, the two of them give us our best post presence, don't you think, since Zach Randolph?
Yep, it's definitely been that long ago, yeah. But they are definitely a great combo to have right now. And both of them, as a tandem, like you say, they play very well.
Oh, I know, and it gives you a lot of fouls to give, and you can even get some out of Gauna defensively in that regard. But, hey, you throw in a great late leader like Day-Day, and he's obviously joined Mateen and Travis Walton as one of the best leaders they've had in basketball. And it's really pretty amazing to be to see MSU go through a stretch where not only do you have that great leader, you know, basketball seems to have had him more frequently, but you've got one in Kirk Cousins for football, too, at the same time.
Yeah, it's been a great year for Michigan State. It certainly has been.
Well, and, hey, I see it doing nothing but keep getting better, Earl.
Okay.
Hey. Great show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Don. Yeah, bye-bye. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
We're glad you listen regularly to Talk of the Nation, but please don't let your involvement end there. We want you to take an active role in shaping each day's program. Call us or send us an email and make your voice heard. Your opinions matter. I'm Neil Conan. Join the conversation next time on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Scott Pohl. Thank you for tuning in. It'll become mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-30s today. Light snow, an inch or less of accumulation tonight with a low of 25. Tuesday's high 35, cloudy and maybe light snow or some patchy light freezing drizzle, and mostly cloudy with a high of 40 Wednesday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call or send us an email, to talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We really need you, though, to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know, friends, neighbors, even a few people that you don't like. You can listen to sports every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. And call us up and talk sports with us. There's a lot of things going on in the sports world, and we're always glad to talk with you, whether it's college sports or high school sports. And it's just a lot of fun. It's well worth talking sports with you. Well, right now, let's talk with our good friend from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Jeff Kimmerly, and talk some prep sports with Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Hey, doing good. And well, I wanted to get you on because there are a lot of things going on in the prep sports world. I know you're busy heck this time of year, aren't you?
Yeah, we kind of, our tournament season, as we call it, started with wrestling last week with teams Wednesday and Thursday, districts, and then individual districts on Saturday. We've got skiing regionals, I think, this weekend. We have Upper Peninsula championships for swimming. Everything gets going. I think, we're still trying to figure out, we're keeping track of all the boys and girls basketball games this year on our site at MHSA.com, and we're still, trying to make sure we have the Detroit PSL schedule updated, and the Kensington Lakes Athletic Association tournament starts tonight for the girls, and we have to get those games in there. So, yeah, we're running a few different directions at once.
So I guess you're busy as heck, busier than you were when you were at the State Journal?
It's a different kind of busy. At the State Journal, it was more like, what breaking thing do I have to go worry about and track down and find out if actually really was a story or not? Whereas here, it's just a lot of information to process, a lot of, good stuff that we have going on, and we just want to make sure to tell people about it. So I at least I have an idea, what's coming when I'm doing it this way. So,
okay. Well, I know one thing you know is kind of coming. Do you think that St. John's can win another wrestling title? I mean, Taylor Moss is unbeaten, but they got a pretty good team overall, don't they?
I think it's going to be pretty hard for them to lose.
Yeah.
They did beat Lowell earlier this year, 41-18, and Lowell's basically considered the second best team in the state, regardless of division. But Lowell was missing two of its guys that night, which, granted, the biggest swing that could provide would be, it could provide, I guess, like a 24-point swing if they were guys that got pinned or whatever. But,
yeah.
I'm thinking that would make the score a little bit closer. I'm still thinking St. John's will be a hard one to take down at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny how certain teams get good, and St. John's has gotten so good in wrestling over the last few years. They've been pretty good overall, as we know, but they've really gotten good, the last 3 to 4 years? They've really been strong, haven't they?
Well, they've had, a group of kids who just got really serious about it, and, that is what they do. That is their sport, and that is what they do, a lot of the year. The good news is some of those guys play other sports, too, because it's, I've always said for years and years that it's best to play as many as you can. But, they have a group of kids that has been doing it since they were little, and they definitely take that thing seriously, and they've made some big things happen with it.
So, Jeff, will I see you at some of the – as you know, I'll be at some of the district games. Will I see you at any of the district games, or are you basically now tied down in the office?
Well, it depends. I'm not sure how that's going to work yet because, obviously, we're keeping track of – district games for 256 districts, 128 for guys, 128 for girls, and it depends on what we can get into our schedule. I think the good news will be I'll be able to get out and see most of a game before I have to get back on the dial and make sure we have all the scores for everything else, because we have these brackets that update on their own. They tell you who they're playing next and what time, and nobody else is doing that, not just in Michigan, but really in the country. Right. We're kind of becoming the spot people go, and we want to be. So we want to make sure that stuff's up to date as soon as we can make it up to date.
Well, that'd be good because, we know how popular high school sports is in the state of Michigan. So I know people are going to love that, Jeff. That's really a great plus, something that you added that's really – I know it's more work for you guys, but that's something that's really going to be served well by the public.
And that's the thing. It's one of those things where, unfortunately, because of the way the media market is, preps have gotten hurt a lot the last – couple months especially, and we're going to try and pick up as much of the slack as we can, and we have this new site right now called Second Half. It's secondhalf.mhsaa.com. We started 2 weeks ago. It's basically telling some of the stories, some of these great things that are going on in the state. You know, we've been posting 2-3 things a day, things that we're writing, different blogs and features and things like that, links to all the state rankings for all the sports, because those are kind of hard to find online a lot of times. You know, we do kind of an athlete of the week sort of thing. We've done some different cool video stuff. So, you know, that's kind of going to be our place to tell some of these stories. And I know a lot of your audience is statewide, so they should definitely check it out. We've hit a lot of different parts of the state already.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. We're talking with Jeff Kimberly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. As you know, Tim Stout, our buddy, has been talking a lot. He's believing, and I guess I do have to agree. Sometimes I'm forced to agree with Tim, but he keeps saying that Sexton's going to win another state title. Do you believe that as well?
Yeah, I think so. I don't really think there is anybody that can really, you know, obviously a team can have a bad shooting night,
yeah,
or whatever, but I don't really see anybody in Class B that can compete with them. They took the best team in Class A, you know, to a 1-point loss, and that was a game that, you know, a lot of people felt like Sexton was on the verge of winning also, you know, before they lost to Pershing. I think it was 81-80 about a month ago. So, yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing anybody that can play with them. I mean, that team is about as good a team as we've had around here, you know, 30 years, if
yes,
not longer.
I mean, they have four players on that team who are going to play Division I, which is pretty incredible as well, isn't it?
Well, at least four,
yeah,
you know, if not more. I mean, the one guy is only a freshman, and he's 6'8". So,
yeah,
you know, people are going to be looking at him, obviously. But, yeah, you take the three guards that have already committed, and Jalen Hayes already has offers. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you look at it. Just all those guys have been up since sophomores, been contributing that long. So it's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. It's just a phenomenal story. Now, in Class A, we've got Eastern and East Lansing, and they'll meet in the district for the first time, and that'll be their third time in a row, that is. Eastern's beat them twice. I got a feeling that Eastern will do it one more time.
You know, and you see a lot of times teams get swept during the regular season and then lose that third,
yep,
one, but, you know, Eastern's been so good. You know, I thought they'd still be good after LaDonte Henton graduated, but I'll admit I did not necessarily see them being this good. It's impressive. Frederick Edmond was a good player last year. Now,
yes,
he's a very good player. He's taken all of his athletic gifts and just made them all count. You know, East Lansing has some very nice pieces as well, especially in its backcourt. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if they can do enough up front to hang with Eastern. Although, you know, they played them to 2 points a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
A game I wasn't at, but I got to check out because it's actually one of the games that we have on our TV site, our MHSA.TV site. So it's kind of a neat thing. And, yeah, I mean, you never know. You never know. Something,
yep,
like that.
Well, we got a caller for you from Lions. This is Victor from Lions, and he's got a wrestling question for you. Victor, how you doing?
Oh, no, it's your worst nightmare. How you doing, Earl?
Okay.
Sorry about that. Be off in just a second, Randy.
Okay, no problem.
That was my brother and his,
oh, okay,
birthday.
Okay.
But, when I wrestled, you know, like, Sexton and Eastern were pretty solid schools. Like, they were Class A. We wrestled in Class C with schools like St. John's, Ovid LC, or whatever. But are those schools still doing well in wrestling, or what?
I mean, Eastern has a good program. They are usually in the top three, I'd say, of their league every year, which is pretty good because it's a good league, because Holton Grand Ledger are always, always there. Sexton, they still have some individuals that come through that are very good, you know, almost every year. They just maybe don't have enough of them to do very well at it from a team standpoint. I mean, back in the day, the city schools were dominant programs in the,
yes,
state, no question.
That was back in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know,
I'm aging myself, right?
Yeah.
You guys keep up the good work, because I'm listening. You guys keep... thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks, Vic. Yeah, we'll talk to you later, buddy. Yep, that's our good buddy Victor from Lyons giving us a call, talking sports with us. And Jeff, with the boys and girls, we know... It seems like, Jeff, that the girls' basketball this year in the Mid-Michigan area is maybe a little bit down. I mean, there are some good teams, but overall, it doesn't seem like it's been as good as it has been the last few years.
You know, there are good, but I would say there's probably not as many elite as there have been. I mean, obviously, Waverly's undefeated. They're very good. St. John's, I think, has one loss, and that loss came to number 9 Midland Dow, I think, or Midland. One of the other. They're both very good programs. I think they're both ranked in Class A at one point, and they did that without Jordan Nuremberg, who is one of the best players in Mid-Michigan. So those two certainly are above the rest. You know, East Lansing's still there, still has its moments.
Yes.
But, you know, obviously isn't having the same kind of year as it's had the last few. So, yeah, I mean, you've got a definite championship contender in Waverly or even St. John's, but maybe just not the same number of them. Portland is undefeated. You know, they're going to be there in Class B, but it's not the three or four schools in each class. It's maybe just one or two.
Hey, Jeff, so now that you're at the High School Athletic Association, what do you see or what do you think is the key to some of these kids and some as more of the coaches keep a program going on and on and on, even with all the changes in students they have? Some years, you know, they have big, stronger kids. Some years, maybe a little bit smaller or quicker kids. But some coaches just seem to have the ability to keep it going year after year. What do you find out that, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball or softball, what do you think, what do you see, you think, when you think that some, what are the coaches are doing to keep it going year after year? Like Pat O'Keefe, he's always seems to always have a good team.
Well, I mean, you know, the easy answer would be that winning keeps people involved, and obviously that helps. I think just providing an athlete with a good experience. You know, a lot of students in the state that we talk to, they play for teams that are maybe 500. Maybe they're better, maybe they're worse, but they love playing. They have a great time with their teammates. They learn, you know, not just sports-related things, but just life things from being a part of it. And I think that's really what it is. I think it's just really having a good experience, something that, you know, they get a chance to compete, they get a chance to have fun with their friends, and they get to make some memories. And it doesn't, you know, yeah, going 20-0 is going to help people come back every year, but that's not the only thing.
Oh, for sure. Now, what about when we see these teams? You know, we see, I know you get a chance now to see everything from the districts all the way up. When
right.
you look at all the pairings and everything, what's the biggest challenge that you found out that, or maybe that you didn't realize now with all the districts going on and how they do everything?
Well, you know, I mean, I always had a really good photographic memory, and I was, you know, I've always kind of, probably almost to a degree where people didn't really believe it. If I met somebody that played in 2003 at Perry, I probably remembered their name because I would have typed it a few, you know, 10 to 20 times or whatever. And always good at that kind of stuff, always good at kind of keeping a decent wealth of knowledge. But the body of it now is just so much more not significant, voluminous, something. It's larger. There's a lot more for me to learn, and that's really what it is. It's amazing, you know, how we accomplish the stuff that we do. It's really impressive, and you know, I think people like to criticize things a lot, but I can tell you firsthand that, you know, everything that's done out of this office is done with the best intentions of keeping things fair and competitive. And, you know, there's only like 21 people that work here, but we run things for an entire state, and that's for 760 schools, I guess, in that entire state, because there are a lot of schools that are not in the MHSA. But what we do is pretty neat, and it's really a great thing to be part of.
Yes, I would agree. As you know, I know a lot of the people there, and I've had relationships with them for a long, long time, and they just do a phenomenal job. Not trying to butter up anyone, but, you know, I know that all of you there, they do just a great job from Jack Roberts on down. And it's really phenomenal what they do. And you, one thing that you and I have talked about several times is all the dealings that you have to put up with all the parents. And, you know, a lot of times the parents aren't the best for their kids, or sometimes, you know, we know they're trying to do the best for their kids, but sometimes they get out a little bit out of hand, don't they?
Well, and a lot of what we try to do here is education. Mm-hmm. we're educating, you know, mostly students on the best perspective on some things, and there's definitely some education of parents in there, too, to kind of keep things in perspective. You know, and we don't hear from the parents as much here. Mm-hmm. You know, we mostly deal with schools,
yeah.
Which is a good thing, but there's still perceptions out there that we want to help people kind of, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, redirect mm-hmm. to a better place. You know, the whole every kid's going to have to go play sports in college when really the percentage is so ridiculously
yes.
low
and, yes.
and what's really important yeah. in high school sports. And, you know, if you go and you get a chance to get some of your college paid for, that's awesome. But that's not really why these things exist necessarily. And, you know, there's that piece of the education there, too, that we are definitely trying to be a part of.
Well, you know, I've seen and you've seen all these years. Now you can see it. Tell me from the inside, how is the sportsmanship working out? I mean, I still go to a lot of games where I don't see good sportsmanship being practiced. So from that level and from that perspective, how is the sportsmanship working out? Are parents getting better and fans getting better, being good sports?
You know, from what I see, I think the bad incidents where you get, you know, a game stopped or a kid suspended because he gets kicked out or whatever, those might be a little bit more in number than they were. But I feel like generally across the board it is better. Just this is now purely by what I've seen. Not that I have numbers to back this up or anything like that. This is just a perception. You know, I think the message sinks in. And I think it's you know, like I said, you get a few bad situations, but by the same token, I feel like as a whole, it really has gotten better. I think, I don't know what it is. It just seems like people are kind of getting what things are about, maybe a little bit more.
I hope so. I know when I talk to officials, some officials think it has gotten better, but I guess the sport that I guess most officials have a trouble with is the sports of basketball, because they're close to the court and they're always right. All over the officials, you know.
You're
one call is either
quarters
way.
And, mm-hmm. and you know what it is it just takes a couple bad apples,
yeah.
you know, to sour the bunch or whatever the metaphor is there. You know, but a lot of times I don't think it's the kids on the floor,
right?
Or even the coaches. I think it's a couple mm-hmm. parents,
yeah.
probably. And you know, those are parents that grew up in a different generation. And hopefully, by the time the guys and the boys and the girls that are in high school now are adults and have their kids out there, they'll do things differently.
Yeah, let's hope so. Because you know, I do believe it's getting better as well. But there's still a few bad apples. But, Jeff, it's always a pleasure talking with you. And, you know, we'll talk again because the districts will be coming around, boys and girls basketball. And, you know, I'll be following boys and girls basketball quite a bit around here.
Absolutely.
But we'll be talking soon, buddy.
Sounds good. Okay. Sounds good. Have a good day, Earl.
Okay, you too, Jeff. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Jeff Kimberly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Used to work for the Lansing State Journal and did a great job writing for them. Now he works for MHSAA. The time is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Neil Conan. When news breaks, you have your own questions that go beyond who, what, where, and when. Talk of the Nation connects to the people who make the news and gives you an opportunity to get answers to your questions. Join us for Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Mostly cloudy today and our high will be in the mid-30s. Light snow tonight with an inch or less of new accumulation and a low of 25. It'll be cloudy tomorrow, and we could also get some light snow, maybe patchy light freezing drizzle. Tuesday's high 35. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, the high 40. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And if you want a chance to win tickets to MSU Wisconsin basketball, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517. And now let's talk more sports, more of the collegiate and professional level with our good friend John Neal from the Detroit News. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Earl. Sorry I missed you earlier, but you're not, never going to believe this, but Tom Izzo talked for a full hour today.
I'm never surprised. Tom can talk. When he gets rolling, you know, he's hard to stop.
He got rolling on quite a few different topics today. So.
Yeah, that game that they had won on Saturday, that was quite an impressive game, wasn't it?
Well, it's huge, and I guess we'll find out, you know, a month, you know, 3-4 weeks from now, maybe just how huge it was, but it really does set the stage for, you know, unlimited possibilities in terms of, you know, Big Ten title and, you know, that March 4th game. We kind of always said way back, boy, you know, if they could, you know, be in the mix still with Ohio State coming in for the regular season finale there, you know, Draymond Green senior day and all that. What an amazing, you know, turnaround that would be for this program and, you know, successful season. And really it's all on the table now. And winning in Columbus really set them up for that.
You know, John, I really am. I'm surprised at how well this team is doing since it's such a young team. What about you? You don't see them as much as I do. So, but are you surprised at how good they are?
Well, yeah, I am. And I, you know, we all talked ad nauseum about, you know, the chemistry problems they had last year, and it was going to be better this year. You know, Tom said that, you know, right from the get-go. You know, one thing he was sure of is that this team was going to, it was going to kill it. If it didn't, it was going to kill them. But this team was going to have better chemistry. But the question was, like you said, you know, a lot of young guys, a lot of inexperienced, a lot of guys, you know, being thrust into roles that are they ready for them? You know, we didn't know. And really, they've had their bumps in the road, but that chemistry he was talking about and the trust and those kind of things, I think, have carried them through some of those rough patches that last year would have really spiraled into, you know, a funk. You know, we saw, you know, more than a few times last year where it got bad and then it didn't get right. This year, you know, even when they have their run, whether it's a loss in Northwestern, the Illinois loss, or even the loss in Ann Arbor that I think stuck in his craw quite a bit, they responded. And that's, I think you can attribute a lot of that to Green and his leadership and the one voice, that, you know, as opposed to last year where it was multiple voices and nobody was listening to anybody talking. And then just, you know, guys stepping up and really accepting their roles in some ways. And yeah, I think the result is a team that's, gosh, like I said, you know, what are they capable of this year? I think really just about anything at this point.
And what about that Michigan team? Because they're really a good team as well, John. I mean, you know, watching them the last couple of years, John Beilein has done a great job of bringing them back to a national prominence, hasn't he?
Well, he really has, and obviously Trey Burke was a huge, you know, surprise to a lot of people this year. And the difference I see in these two teams is they're more experienced, and I think that's come through at times. You know, with guys like Novak and you know, et cetera. You know, even Doug Stu Douglas, I think have really helped them at times. But then the difference I see, and the reason why I think maybe the upside is much greater even this March for Michigan State is that depth and the ability to just, you know, not almost too deep in a lot of ways. And I think Izzo really likes that, and he's starting to keep, you know, he's doing it again today, you know, kicking himself. He really still doesn't think he's done a great job with rotations and things like that and substitution patterns and everything else. But the fact that he has those options, whereas Beilein really, and we saw it in that game here in East Lansing, you know, a couple weekends ago, Super Bowl Sunday, you know, they're really limited if those guys, you know, aren't coming off the bench with Smotrich and if they're not doing, you know, Bogridge, that isn't the guy I don't think they can necessarily count on, although he's played well here lately. I think that's a big difference come Big Ten tournament time, March, et cetera. And I don't know, we'll see. But I really think this Michigan State team, it's Adrian Payne, and we saw it. that's what they've been waiting for, because they know how talented he is and what a great athlete he is, and if he can put it together and really get some confidence from that and keep, as Izzo pointed out today, I mean, that's the new standard. Once you've done it, now that's expected. Well, we'll see if he can match that effort, if the light is really on there, that's going to be tough to handle for the rest of the league.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, John, let's turn to hockey a little bit. I mean, the Detroit Red Wings are on the verge of setting a new NHL record. Do you think can they win 21, 22, 23? How far do you think this team can go?
Well, really, who knows? I mean, it's a remarkable, and I don't know, today and the last couple of days, now the talk is, this big debate about whether it, deserves an asterisk or not, because of the shootouts and the overtime rules now, as opposed to, they tied the record that was set in 75-76 by the Flyers, when there was no overtime, and the 29-30 Bruins when there was a full 10-minute overtime that wasn't sudden death. But comparing eras is always impossible in all sports. But
it is.
In hockey, you're talking the original six as opposed to the salary cap era of 30 teams. To me, that negates any sort of asterisk you want to put on it, because they've won three games in shootouts. So it's a remarkable stretch. And it's 20 games, it's 2 months. Who does that anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
To not have a bad night and all those, especially in a regular season where, 82 games is too long to begin with, and it becomes such a grind and with injuries and everything else. And they're dealing with it. And right now they're playing with what you would call a third-string goalie, although I think he's now officially the backup in Joey McDonald. He's a great story in of itself. But, they are rolling now and playing that, it goes back to the same thing we were talking about Michigan State. They're playing defense now, especially at home, and that's what was missing last year and maybe even the last two or three years. And that's why they maybe are a team that's back on top in terms of, they really can go all the way to win the cup. We say that every year, but this team plays defense like some of their previous cup-winning teams does, or comes close to it at least. So, I don't know. I think they will beat Dallas. I think they will set the streak. And you could see it last night. I was at the game last night, and they're feeding off. I mean, they keep downplaying the streak, but they're out there every shift, clearly on a determined, we're not going to let it end tonight. And I think that'll continue tonight. Now, whether it continues beyond tomorrow night, whether it continues beyond that, we'll see. But 20 in a row is pretty damn impressive already.
Yes, it is. We got a caller for you. Mike from Saginaw has got a question about the Wings. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing there? I got a good question about it. Since they have shootouts and when the games are tied or they play overtime, that still counts as a victory, right?
It does. And that's the sort of big question. Everybody, they've done that now. I mean, they lead the league in shootout wins. They think they've only lost once in shootouts this year, 6-1, 7-1, something like that. In this streak of 20 games, they've had four overtime games. One they won in overtime, regular overtime, 5 minutes, and then three of them they've won in shootouts. But does that really count? That would have been a tie back in 75, 76.
I got a good question for you. Since Joe Louis Arena was built in the early 80s and everything, why is it so outdated? I know that a lot of the professional sports team, they all want to suites, and they want the prime seating areas be close to the action and everything. What's so outdated about Joe Louis Arena?
Well, what's so outdated about it is you just walk in there and you can see those amenities you're talking about that every other, newer arena has. They don't have much of that. I shouldn't say that. They have upgraded in terms of some of the suites, some of the, club, Olympia Club, et cetera. They've been talking about building a new arena downtown for quite a while. That's still the plan. The question is, in the city of Detroit, how do you come up with the money? I mean, the city doesn't have the money to foot a bill for a new arena that's going to cost you $400 or $500 million. So that's been a big dilemma here for quite some time.
Is the location? They've been. When you read the newspapers, they say it's always by the Fox Theater in Detroit. But in terms of people going downtown. They would rather have a downtown arena instead of building it close in a neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's, I mean, and Ilitch has built sort of his own entertainment district. You know, he owns a lot of that down there now with the Fox Theater and Hockey Town Cafe and obviously Comerica Park with the baseball stadium. So that's all, it's all part of a, you know, a grand plan somewhere, some locked away in some boardroom somewhere there. But the question is yeah, I mean, he's got, the land has been bought up over the years. The question is, how, you know, now you got to find a way to pay for it. And that's, you know, in this economy, especially the last 5 years or so, how do you do that? And that's the big dilemma. And that's part of the reason why that whole, you know, flirtation, if not more than that, with buying the Pistons. Okay, well, then that, you buy that team, and then that gives you a little more leverage in a deal with the city. Okay, we'll bring the Pistons back downtown in a dual-purpose arena. That obviously didn't pan out, but I think that was part of the motivation for that as well. So, and also to give them a place to play while they're building a new arena, perhaps. We'll see. I still think that is going to happen. It's just a matter of, you know, how many years away is it?
Okay, thanks, Mike, and we'll talk a little bit more. What about, I've always thought if they ever do build a new arena, I know that the hockey fans will, because they got a bunch of hockey fans over in Windsor that will come over to the games, but I'm not sure if the basketball fans would come back downtown again. I mean, basketball fans, it seems, if I might be wrong, John, but the basketball fans really love the big games and come. They will turn out if they think it's perceived, like if Chicago's really good, they'll go to Chicago or Miami, something like that. But I don't know if with all the season tickets, I'm not sure how many teams would go to some of the regular season season ticket holder and go to a lot of those regular season games.
Well, you know, there is a saturation point, obviously, but I mean, we went through a stretch there, and I actually kind of wrote about it today, sort of making light of it a little bit. Went to the Palace for the first half of that pretty terrible game last night, and then went to the Joe to finish it off. But, when they were winning and going to the Eastern Conference Finals, that was the place to be. I mean, that was the hot ticket in town, and the Wings were actually realizing that, well, you know what, after, you know, taking our fans for granted a little bit all these years, they've started having some empty seats, and the sellouts, you know, streak ended, and especially come playoff time, they were stunned when they had some empty seats for first round playoff games and things like that. So, you know, you build a winner, people are going to come in this town, and Detroit loves sports so much, they'll sell the building out. I agree. I don't know. I think they've been up in Auburn Hills long enough now that that's where their fan base, you know, to a large extent is. And like you said, downriver, and even some people coming over from Windsor and things like that, Ontario, is where the Wings, you know, if the Wings, you know, moved up to the Palace for, you know, for even for a short time, I think that would be a real troublesome time for their fan base, because a lot of those people, like you said, are you know, downriver and in that area. So, yeah, I think there is some geographic, you know, foothold there, but, you know, gosh, you know, with the entertainment district and, you know, and Mayor Dave Bing, I think would love to see a Pistons back downtown, and I think it would work. I just don't. And now that, you know, that building is still, you know, a lot of people will tell you that building is still a standard bearer in a lot of ways, the Palace, you know, even at this advanced stage. Now, 10 years from now, that probably won't be the case, so I don't know what the long-term plan is, but I think they're staying put for now, and it's tied into their, you know, their music, entertainment, you know, arm of that Palace of Sports and Entertainment as well, and that's, I think, a big part of what prompted Tom Gores to finally pull the trigger on that deal, too. So I think they're both staying put. The question is, when do the Wings get a new arena, and then when do the Pistons start winning again?
Well, I tell you, you know, I've definitely been impressed with for the last few years, especially how much Detroit is in love with their college hockey. I mean, Michigan State, that game was a sellout. College hockey always does well down there, don't they?
No, it does, and it's, I don't know. I mean, I took my kids to the first Michigan State game at Joe Louis, and it's just fun. It's just a different, now, year after year, the GLI is, you know, it's an old hat in a lot of ways. And I think next year will be great in terms of, not that we're not used to outdoor games by now with Michigan and Michigan State, but having the GLI at Colbert, I mean, that'll just be a nice new twist on it for, you know, people who maybe are getting tired of the same old. But, yeah, I think it, I just, college hockey in this state, I mean, Ferris State, I think, is, they just moved up to number one. This, you know, it's just, it's every corner of the state now, you know, has, you know, either whether it's in the UP or Michigan Tech or Ferris or, you know, it's a lifeblood kind of thing here too. And so, and you get, you know, the skill level and the guys who are going to college. I mean, once it became a pathway to the NHL, you know, not the, well, I guess that's not going to, you know, my career's not going to go the way I want. I'll go play college hockey. I mean, 20 years ago, that sort of, that tide turned, and now it's, it is a destination. So you're seeing guys you know are going to play in the NHL, too. And that, I think that's a draw, too, for a lot of fans.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw, you know, it's minor league baseball, you know, in some ways. And I think fans, you know, kids grow up, they play it, and then they want to watch it.
Yep. Well, John, before we let you go, we got to talk about the Detroit Lions for a couple of minutes. You know, the Lions football season is year-round now. Football season is just year-round.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yep. And who do you think? Do you think the Lions can re-sign Calvin Johnson? They can re-sign Cliff Averill and some of the other guys that they have to re-sign or try to squeeze in under the salary cap? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that, and I wrote this right at the couple days after the season ended, they're going to get a deal done with Calvin Johnson, and his feeling is mutual. It will not be some long, dragged-out, awful, you know, holdout, anything like that, I don't think. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but he doesn't want to play on a one-year deal, which is essentially what he would be playing on. You know, there's long-term security and everything else involved with getting a deal done on his end of things, too. So while he does have a lot of leverage, as much as anyone will ever have, probably in his position, I think they will get a deal done, and it will be a huge contract. It'll be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, maybe, but he'll be worth it too. And I think that's the part the fans, I think, after this season, certainly probably should understand, is just how big of a difference he can make for a team. And you've got Matthew Stafford, so the last thing you're going to do is let Calvin Johnson walk away. No matter what it takes, you're going to get it done. Now, the other guys, yeah, Cliff Averill is going to demand probably more than he's worth, and in the Lions' eyes, and maybe it comes down to the difference there is they could throw the franchise tag on him and keep him around for another year and deal with it. You know, that's not certainly not what they want to do, and I don't think that's what will happen, but it's an option, and I think that's where leverage starts to work there, too. Some of the other guys, I think Stephen Tulloch will be back because I think they realize how valuable he was to their defense this year. At cornerback, I don't know. That could be the issue. Is, you know, Eric Wright is the other maybe main free agent that they've got to make a decision on. And while they liked him, I think he showed some of his, you know, the kinks in his armor this year. But you know, money is becoming an issue for them because now they're good and their good players are making a ton of money, and you know, the bill comes due, and it's going to be hard. They're going to have to restructure some deals, which I think people are forgetting. That's what will happen. And some of these cap worries will go away a little bit in terms of guys restructuring the deal like a couple of them did last year. But, yeah, it's going to be hard. But that's what they had back in the mid-90s. It's been a long time since we've had to deal with that in this town.
Yeah.
But that's the price of success in a salary cap league in this era. And they've got the double whammy, though, of picking so high for so many years, having to fork over $50 million guaranteed to Matthew Stafford and $40 million guaranteed to Ndamukong Suh. Those contracts, you know, do become, you know, a bit of a millstone around a team's neck, and so they've got to be creative, and that's, you know, that's why they pay Tom Milan, that's why they pay those guys to make those decisions. But I do think Calvin, I wouldn't freak out about it. He's going to be back. It's just going to take a while.
Okay, thanks a lot, John. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll get back together and talk again. Okay?
Yeah, we'll see. I'll see you probably Thursday night. I'll be back here for sure for Wisconsin.
Okay, though. Thanks a lot, John.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye. We'll see you. Bye-bye. That's John Neal from the Associated Press and the Detroit News, that is. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.